But Jesus said, this is not the way that we're supposed to think at all. Then he goes on in verse 45, he says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. What he's saying is that God is not up there being mad at people because they do all of these things to him. And listen, we have all dishonored God. We have all done things that go against His grace. Some of us have cursed God. Some of us have been mad at God. We blame God for things. We accuse Him falsely of things that He does not do. We have attitudes about Him that are not true. And the Bible says that we are supposed to be like Him. Because it goes on to say in this verse, it says, for He makes His Son rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, God made creation to be a blessing to humanity, no matter if they were good or evil. And, you know, this kind of shows a picture of God is that, you know, He's not this mad creature up there that's wanting to bless some and curse some. Now, there are curses, and you can come under curses if you want to. But that's not the heart of the Father. He did not make the creation to be a curse to us. He made it to be a blessing to us. The sun to shine and the rain to come. And that's how it nourishes the earth, and it's a blessing to us. So this gives a little bit of a revelation and insight onto the intent of the Father. In fact, if you really want to understand the plan of God, you really need to go back to what we call original intent. Go back to the Garden of Eden, see how He designed things, and you can begin to understand the Bible better. In fact, if you'll understand the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, it is the key that unlocks the whole Bible. And we see how God created things, and then we see how we messed it up, and then how God fixed it through Jesus Christ. So now go with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're just going to kind of take these in sequence. These are not in subject matter, but these are in sequence as they occur in the Scripture. Jesus gives us glimpses of what our Father is really like. That His whole intent is to be able to bless humanity. Everything that He has done goes toward blessing humanity. Matthew 6:8 says, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. Now that's how much He cares about you. I mean, how many people does God have to look out after? How many people in the earth? God knows all their names. He knows everything about them. He knows what they have need of before they ever ask Him. How much more does He understand His children and the needs that we have before we ever ask Him? In fact, He knows about your needs before you ever have them. He cares that much about us as His children. He knows what we have need of before we ever ask Him. You never have to tell God what you lack. He already knows. In fact, telling God your problem is not prayer. Learning to pray the Scripture, that's prayer. Now, it goes on to say in chapter 6, verse 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I wonder how much time in life today that we spend about worrying about our stuff. About making money and paying bills and raising children and just our whole manner of life, this routine of living that we fall into. How much time we spend about those kind of things. Just a good swift kick will handle it every time. And we worry about those things. What you will eat or what you'll drink or about what you'll put on. I may need somebody to come up here and kick me every now and then, okay? Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. You know what this says? That birds don't understand sowing and reaping and gathering into barns. We understand that. We've learned that part of kingdom living is learning how to sow and reap and gather into barns. Do we do that? Yeah. You go out and work and you earn money and you have a savings account and you gather and you save and, you know, you save for a rainy day or you budget or do all of those kind of things. And, you know, the birds don't do that. The birds don't understand about sowing and reaping and gathering into barns. But this goes on to say, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Are you more important than birds? Yes. God provides for the birds, and they don't do the things that we know and understand about sowing and reaping and gathering into barns. But it says that we are more value than they. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You cannot add anything to your person by worry. But it's amazing how much time we spend in worrying. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. We toil and spin has to do with manufacturing of clothes. We manufacture clothes and we buy clothes and we do all of that. You know, the lilies don't do that. And yet they're beautiful. They're arrayed. And it's only for a season. It goes on to say there that only for a season, just for a few days. And then it's cast into the oven. Then he goes on to say, therefore do not worry, saying. Now I like that. Do not worry, saying. Every one of us has thoughts of worry and thoughts of fear. But it goes on to say, do not worry, saying. Learn to let some thoughts die unborn. Don't give expression to them. Don't give life to your thoughts of worry by saying. Because once you express it, it takes on a life of its own. If you'll let some things die, it's amazing that that will die. It will not produce. It will not go on. So it says, take no thought, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. Verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, God is saying, you care about my stuff, I'll take care of your stuff. You be concerned about what I'm concerned about, which is the kingdom, which is about people, it's about His work. And He says, I'll take care of your stuff, what you'll wear, how you pay your bills, all of those kind of things. If you'll take care of me, of my stuff, then I'll take care of your stuff. It's sowing and reaping, isn't it? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now go with me to Matthew 18, and we're going to look at verse 19. This has to do with prayer. This has to do with agreement. We could do a whole lesson on this prayer of agreement. We've got some wonderful testimonies about this. But he goes on to say, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they will ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. It says that if we'll agree around His word, that the Father will do the things that we agree on. God is inclined to perform His word. He is inclined to perform His promises. You know, some people say, well, you know, sometimes God says yes, and sometimes He says no, and sometimes He says wait. That's not in the Bible, okay? That's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible, that the promises of God in Christ are yes. Now, we need to make sure we're standing on the Word, because God watches over His Word to perform it. That's the thing He wants to do. The things that He says that He wants to do, if we'll come together in agreement, it says it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The Father wants to work on our behalf. The Father wants to become involved personally with our lives. And one of those ways is through the prayer of agreement. Now go with me to Luke 11. 13, we're moving fast, I know, but follow me in the scripture there. Luke 11:13, it says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, we have been in the Christmas season. This is a good time to bring this verse up. Most of you have done very well about providing for your children during this time, giving good things to your children. Don't we desire for our children to have it better than we have it? Even if we had it wonderful, don't we want our kids to have better than what we had? Don't we take delight in giving our children good and wonderful things? Don't we just desire to be a blessing to our kids in that way, in blessing our kids? And the Bible says if you being evil or natural or just fleshly, if you do that, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The Father is much more inclined to give to us than we are to give to our children. And I don't know about you, I love to see the expressions, especially the little kids, on their face as you do something for them, you give them something, and they just light up. How much more does the Father desire to do things in our life that causes us to light up? And one of the greatest things that He could give us would be the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, that's what He's desired all along, is to live in the hearts of people. And when He takes delight in giving us the Holy Spirit, that's the best gift that we could ever have, is God living inside of us. Can you say amen? That's just wonderful. God takes great delight in giving good things to those that ask Him. In Luke 24, in verse 49, it says this. Jesus talking, He says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." There's a promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. This is what took place on the day of Pentecost. He says, "But it's the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high." The thing that the Father has always desired is to have a close relationship with us. Not only to be with us, but to be in us. The Old Testament Christians, they had a relationship with God, but it was an external one. What He desires is to have an internal relationship. And He said, you know, "The day will come, I'll walk with them, and I'll be in them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people." But it's from the inside to the outside. It's a close relationship. We become the tabernacle of God. We become the sanctuary. We call this the sanctuary, but this is not the sanctuary. This is an auditorium. Here's the sanctuary. You're the sanctuary. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're the sanctuary of God. That's what He's always desired, is to live in them and walk in them and be their God and us be His people. And this is the desire of the Father. He doesn't want to be far off and aloof. He does not want to be unapproachable. He wants to be very, very approachable. And He is, because He desires to be. Amen. Okay. John chapter 6, verse 44. I know I'm jumping thoughts, but that's okay. We're just taking them in sequence. Jesus talking, "No one can come to me." And this is a verse that's been misquoted a whole lot. Here's the way we normally quote it. "No one can come to me unless the Spirit who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." But that's not what that says. It says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." One of the things that the Father does is that He is the one who draws us. He is the one who pursues us. You didn't pursue God. He pursued you. And when you opened your heart and you began to turn your heart toward God, it was because He has extended His grace to you. And this is His whole heart. This is His whole mindset to have a relationship with us. And it's He who draws us, not us or the Spirit or anything else. It's the Father who draws us. It's the Father who draws us. And we need to see our Father in that mode. Father is not like this. It's not stay away. Mostly we're like this. Don't get too close, God. Don't get too close. God wants us to open our arms because His arms are open. Now go with me to John chapter 14 and verse 6. I love this passage here. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That is a very defining and profound statement made by the Lord Jesus. It's one that declares what is Christian and what is not. It's the theology that describes what is Christian and what is not. Because we have a lot of people saying today, you know, it doesn't matter how you get to God. We're all trying to get to God. But this, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Now that's either a truth or a lie. It's not our good works that gets us there. It's not through another deity that gets us there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me. I am the way. And that's what makes us Christian. That is one of the defining things that makes us Christian. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. That's strange. They didn't understand that. Then Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. I don't know what you're talking about, Jesus. Show us the Father. Now notice what Jesus says here. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? That's a huge statement. How do we know what the Father looks like? You look at Jesus. You look at what he did, what his attitude was. That is a picture of the Father. In fact, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Wow. Same, it's the same Spirit. It's the same attitude. It's the same God. The Father is not one God and Jesus a different God with different agendas. There is such a unity between the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. There's such a unity in purpose and you know, they have never had a disagreement. There's never been a power struggle between the Trinity. They're one. They're one in purpose. They're one in heart. The Father is not different than the Son, and the Son than the Father. They are alike. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, let's read on. Let's read on. Verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I do not speak by my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. And he's talking about this one relationship that he has with him. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the words themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. That's another sermon there. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pretty profound words about the oneness of the heart of God. Now, we're going to close with this. And go with me to John chapter 17. And we're going to begin with verse 9. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. Not only the ones that believed on him then, but also those who would believe after because of their preaching. He talks about, he addresses the Father. John 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. This is not a prayer for the whole world. This is a prayer for those whom the Father has given Jesus. Can I say this to you today? If you're here today and you're born again, you have been given to Jesus. Okay? If God is in your life, you have been given. He's talking about you. He's talking about you. Verse 10, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. That's a huge, huge prayer there. He says, I want them to be one. I want them to enjoy the same fellowship that you and I enjoy. I want them to be so one, so unified, just like we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you have gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Look at verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Amen. See, in life, we're going to face stuff. He says, but my prayer is that you will keep them from the evil one, okay? From his deceptions. Verse 16. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for those alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's me and you, okay? That they also may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that we may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. Did you know the Father loves you just like He loves the Son? Now that's hard to wrap our heads around. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Jesus wants to share His glory that the Father gave Him with us. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Now, what he is describing here is a family. God's all about family. God is all about us being together as a family. You know, one of the things that the scripture says that when his spirit comes into our heart, our spirit cries, the spirit in us cries, Abba, Father, which means daddy. Is it disrespectful to call him daddy or papa? Remember, if you read The Shack, the nickname that the lady had for God was Papa. She called him Papa. I said, that's so disrespectful. No, it's not. Now, God is awesome. He inspires awe in us, and He's huge. He encompasses His creation and beyond. But He's still our Papa, our Daddy, our Father God. And that's the kind of relationship with us. He can be awesome, but at the same time, we can have intimacy with Him, and He can be our Daddy God. That's what your Father is like. That's the Father that Jesus came to portray to us. And that's the way that we need to view our Father God. Now, familiarity will breed contempt? No, not with the Father it won't. It won't, because He's perfect. You know, if I understand all about Mark West, I might have contempt in my heart because he's not a perfect. He's not perfect, is he? Okay, he's not. Okay. He's not perfect, and I might have contempt for him. I doubt it. But we could have contempt for somebody that we get to know when we see their flaws. But when you see the Father, you're going to see perfection. There's no going to be contempt through familiarity. In fact, what it's going to do, it's going to transform your life. When you get to know Him, it transforms you because you're changed from glory to glory to glory through the Word of God. So don't be afraid to approach your Father. Don't be afraid to be in a relationship with Him because that's the thing that He desires for His people. He desires to show His love to us and to transform us to be like Him. Amen. I'm going to ask my prayer team if they'll come. We're going to pray. We're going to invite you to come, whatever your need might be. You may be here and you need Jesus in your life. You need to be born again. You need to have a relationship with God. You know, that's not a shameful place to be, is having a need of a Savior. The shameful thing is to reject the Savior. The good thing to do is come to the Savior. He'll transform your life. Maybe you're here today and you just need prayer about something going on in your life, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, financial. You need somebody to agree with you and pray with you. As we begin to pray, we want to invite you to come. We don't make a big deal out of this. You just come and people will be glad to pray with you. They'll be thrilled to pray with you today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for your love that you've shown us in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you are our very own Father, Abba Father, Daddy God, that you desire intimacy with us and closeness of relationship, that you may join us together in the same kind of relationship. We thank you for the revelation of this, and we thank you above all that you love us with everlasting love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?
Worship together. So I walk upon salvation, your Spirit alive in me, my life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand.
know, there's something awesome when we stand before God with our arms raised. You know, somebody in my small group, and I can't remember who it was, had talked about a preacher had said to them one time that, you know, the whole God in person relationship is exemplified by them arms raised, because it's like a, and what I think of when I think of what they said in the small group is when I get home, my daughter runs to me with her arms raised. And that's the same way we should run to God. And someone highlighted that in our small group, and that image is just stuck in my mind. You know, that's the way I need to run to God, just totally abandoned, just so excited to have Him there. Because I promise you, if you run to Him that way, He's going to be so excited for you to be there. So let's pray and be dismissed. Father, thank You so much for this time today where we've looked into who You are. We've looked into what we mean to You. As hard as that is for some of us to accept, actually, as hard as that is for most of us to accept, we mean a lot to You. Lord, impress on our hearts that You can mean the same thing to us. Impress on our hearts that we can run to You like that little child, just like You say in Your Word. And that we can stand on that promise when we run to You like a little child, that we will not be denied. That we will have Your presence, that we'll have Your love, we'll have Your grace, we'll have Your everything in our life. Lord, we need You. And we ask this in Jesus' blessed and holy name. Amen.